do you lose respect for people who, you know, perhaps a celebrity that you have a lot of respect for, and all of a sudden you see him selling Budweiser or something like
that?
I mean, James Garner, here he is selling, what, pork sausage or no, beef, and then he has a heart attack.
I know.
Do you lose respect for these people?
I lose respect for them, and I think, you know, what it is they, I know they think, well, everybody else is doing it. And so we all feel that way. So that's why, again, the study circles are so important, because you become like the people you're around. And if you're around people who do nothing but consume or try to move up, or you know, they're doing everything for their career, you become that way. And so unless you have this support with a study circle, it's really hard to take this direction.
Safety net.
Yeah, it is.
We're talking to Cecile Andrews. She's the author of The Circle of Simplicity, Return to the Good Life. I'm Paul Nelson. We're talking about voluntary simplicity and also the groups, the study circles that go with that. You know, when you were describing the study circles in the book, I really got a sense, combined with your education background, that what you're talking about is the continuing education of the future. Does that resonate with you?
Yes. It is, because in all these other movements, the health movements, spirituality, people have taken it back for themselves. For instance, in the natural health movement, all these people, one third are going to alternative health, and they don't tell their doctors, and they're doing it. You know, the experts have nothing to do with it, but we haven't done that in education yet. We're still letting the experts tell us how we should learn, what we should learn.
Charter schools.
Yeah. Well, yes, that's true. And so here it is. And in fact, to me, you know, we're worried all the time about K through 12, okay? But if adults aren't excited about learning, children aren't going to be excited either. And so here are adults taking back their education, their learning for themselves. You don't have to have an expert, a teacher. Study circles are designed so that people do it themselves. And what people do is, and particularly in these, they talk about their own personal stories. And so one of the questions might be, it's a question anyone can answer, like, when have you experienced community in your life? So everybody goes around the circle and tells a story. And then from that, they define community. And then they start critiquing the broader society about why there's no community. And then they end up, well, what can I do to increase community? So it goes from your personal experience to a critique of the society to making some sort of change.
Mm-hmm. And without, and I don't want to risk coming across as a person who just wants to bash public education. I can be a very critical person. But the answer there seems to be more money. We don't have enough money. And yet what they're teaching, it's almost like the story of that person who goes and learns all about yoga, reads all the books on yoga, and they say, now, okay, you can go teach it. But what? I've never even done a stretch.
Exactly.
What you're talking about in the study circles is the teacher being personal experience. And it doesn't have to be someone who's got 12 years of college or a master's or whatever. Any person has personal experience which can be of value to anyone else, no matter what their level.
Yes,
they don't seem to be getting that, though, in the schools.
No, because it really is. I mean, we've really created a caste system in our education that you are a better person because you have a PhD. And this is saying, in a study circle, it doesn't matter what your degrees are. Everyone has experience. And in fact, sometimes the more educated you are, the less you really have looked at your own experience. Your ideas are not your own. Your ideas are really secondhand ideas. And so this says we've all got this experience, like, you know, the Native American who sits there all day and watches what happens. And then you get to talk about it. Well, what does this mean? And who do you really get to talk to about your day-to-day experiences and get the meaning out of it and see what your patterns are?
So instead of education being something where you take a book and you memorize these dates of meaningless facts, like when Columbus discovered America, so rather than education being that, education being an environment in which epiphanies can happen.
Yeah. And when the focus is on wisdom instead of information. I mean, when I think of all the facts I've learned, and I can remember hardly any of them, I mean, it's like they're out the window. They were useless. But what sticks with me are times I've been able to think about and experience and understand what it meant, understand who I was, understand what I felt, thought, valued. You know, most people don't have this core of knowing who they are. And if you don't know who you are, of course commercials are going to work on you. Of course you're going to go out and buy something because people want to be somebody.
Mm-hmm. And they think those things are going to make them somebody,
right.
And they don't.
Right.
Have you had encounters with people who don't see where you're coming from, or perhaps letters to the newspaper because you provide tips on how to simplify your life? And I would like to get in some tips, too, before we let
yes.
you go from this interview. But what kinds of reactions do you get to people who are really stuck in the materialistic lifestyle?
Yeah. Well, I've gotten some really bad reactions from some women who didn't like the fact that I was joking that I couldn't cook. They thought, how could you? You should be cooking. But other people get very upset when I talk about multinational corporations and that we really should be supporting local independent businesses. And they say, well, you know, we should be there giving those people jobs. And people don't realize how we're really undermining economies in other countries. And then other people will say, well, you're going to ruin the economy. And what I say is the economy is not going to stay this way. One, we're ruining the environment. Two, we're getting a huge gap between the rich and the poor. This will not last. And either we change it voluntarily, consciously, think it through, or it will just crash around us.
But the movement you talk about, voluntary simplicity, isn't this just a symptom of all these old ways of doing things and how they're dying? For example, you talk about a person who's got a PhD and they're higher up on the food chain simply by having those letters after his or her name. But the truth is that hierarchies are ending. They're not working anymore in the way they're presently constructed. And that rather than hierarchies, we're seeing these movements come up from the grassroots, not from the top down, but from bottom up. In addition, some of the other trends that we're seeing are more trends toward partnership rather than the competitive adversarial model, which is a male model. And furthermore, we're seeing more of a feminine approach to dealing with things rather than these male approaches, which we're taking them to about their extreme, and it's not solving our problems.
Exactly. And this whole thing of hierarchy, that community won't work with hierarchy. You have to have people as equals in community, and people want the community. And so as people come together, it's very interesting because there is this whole lack of people trying to one-up each other. And there is a majority of women. And in the study circles, there are always men. And the interesting thing about it is that these are particularly nice men. Now, that sounds like a funny thing to say, but they're totally non-defensive about being there with a lot of women. And I figure that if they are willing to question our definition of success, they've already gone through some sort of change. And so they become very, very non-macho. So this whole thing of being partners, being equals, where do you learn to do it? And again, I come back to the study circles. It is a laboratory for learning to be an equal. Because you don't get to do it. I mean, all day, we're usually, you know, either, you know, sucking up to somebody or, you know, lording it over somebody else. And when do you really get to be an equal? Mm-hmm. So you don't know how.
And, you know, the boss at work who has that power needs to feel like an equal just as much as anyone else.
Absolutely. And you know, they're uncomfortable with that. And the only way you really feel comfortable is when you're an equal with somebody. You never feel good either way.
Tips on how to simplify our lives.
Well, I think what, you know, particularly Vicki Robin and Joe Dominguez talk about writing everything down that you buy. I think at the same time, maybe you should write down your experiences. And otherwise, you know, you stop at some time during the day and write down, how are you feeling? Are you feeling energetic and alive? Are you feeling bored and tired? And so you start to analyze, and that means you should have a period every day of sitting silently and just kind of letting things drift through your mind to see what you're feeling. And then you need a time, I think, where you get out in nature. And then as you think through what you're doing, you start analyzing it. And what you find is when you make one change, you often have several side benefits. So say you decide to drive less. Okay, you drive less, That means you're going to save some money. And if you walk more, you're going to have more exercise. You'll probably see your neighbors more. You'll be in touch with nature more. And so people start thinking, you know, what can I cut back on? And so anything, for instance, on shopping, you always put something in your way of impulse buying. Like some people, I like this one. Somebody said they put, if they really wanted something, they put an X on the calendar for a week away. And then when the week is over, if you can remember what the X was for, then you can decide if you really need it. Because usually we have this lust to buy. And so there it is. You can do it really easy. If you can just get yourself to wait a little while. For instance, you know, since I'm home a lot during the day and I need something, I think, oh God, I've made this rule. You have to walk to get it. You can't drive your car. And so there's so many things I get out of buying because by the time I'm out, I don't want it anymore. I don't need it anymore. So you kind of figure it out for yourself. You don't just use somebody else's. But then I think the absolute key is that you figure out what you love to do. And this means that you have to figure it out in little ways, what gives you pleasure in little things, and then you move up.
But you're a big, you know, author with a book published by HarperCollins, and even have a newspaper article. It might be easy for you to simplify your life than the poor blue-collar schmuck who's got $8,750 in debt like the average American, and here's you talking about this, and this is a pipe dream to them.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, and that's why, at the same time, this has to have the social justice issues, that we're really redefining what success is, and everyone should be a part of that. And so that means that part of this is not just people cutting back, it's also that people have a good enough wage so they can work less. I mean, I really support, for instance, a shorter work week in this society so that you can spread the jobs around and that people can have time to get involved in their communities. So some people have too much work and some people don't have enough. And what are you going to do about it? And so you come up with a policy. It has to be more than just personal change. A policy that makes people realize that we're all in this together.
It's the old liberal in you coming out, I can sense. And the corporations, they're not buying into this because, you know, a four-day work week, you know, that's going to affect our, stock, and we can't do that. And the stockholders are going to say, wait, you can't do that. We need to close down that plant and move it to Mexico. I mean, they're at one extreme and you seem to be at another. But Gandhi was very, very eloquent about the root blunders of violence. And you touched on one earlier. When you have a big chasm between rich and poor. That was, and I'm paraphrasing, which is horrible, but that's one of the root blunders of violence. So do you see things getting worse before they crash and get better, or how do you see things manifesting in the next few years?
I think that there will be some big thing that happens to galvanize people. And we've had some things like the Oklahoma City bombing, but we've had little things like you've heard about, the soccer clubs saying, I'm not going to buy soccer balls from Pakistan where it's child labor doing it. So, but I do think something big will galvanize people because sooner or later, it is going to collapse. And so I see all the people trying to simplify their lives of creating little models for us to use in the future. And at the same time, they're enjoying themselves more.
Yeah. How about some resources for people who maybe want to join a study circle, you know, or any of the resources that you can point people to get more information on this?
Well, the Finney Neighborhood Center in Seattle, in North Seattle, is one place. And people come from all over there to have training on study circles. And you can call them. They have a hotline at 464-4800.
And that area code is 206.
And that's 206. And what I try to do in my book is to give people all the steps for doing a study circle, how you get it started, how you do it. You don't need to have an expert. You can do it yourself. You know, you don't charge for study circles. People just do them. And so, and there are lots of good books at the libraries. Some bookstores have started separate sections for simple living. And so magazines, there's a journal called Yes, A Journal of Positive Futures is a great journal.
And based on Bainbridge Island, we've we've had Sarah
Van Gelder
on the air. So should people go out to the bookstore and buy your book, or should they go to the library?
Now you have a real dilemma, don't you?
No, you have a dilemma.
Well, I have rationalized this to myself that if you're going to have an urge to spend money, buy a book rather than a new blouse.
Oh, there you go. There you go. You can buy something that once you read, you can give to someone else and can have a long, long life.
Yes, and I give pre-read books to a lot of friends. You know, you're guaranteeing that they're good books if you read them first.
There you have it. Amazing work you're doing. It's wonderful to have you on the show. Please, continued success.
Thank you.
Cecile Andrews has been our guest. She's a Seattle woman. She's active in the Voluntary Simplicity Movement, and her new book, which you can find at fine bookstores and libraries everywhere, is The Circle of Simplicity: Return to the Good Life.